Sabah blessing to all the precious family that are joining us. Welcome to our guests on this blessed Sabbath, August 23rd, 2025. This is our lesson 481 review of our chapter 86 entitled Go Teach All Nations. This is our part 7. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with a tiny touch theme to our song. It's a hymn entitled Peace, Perfect Peace, number 463.
Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus. This is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was enjoying it. I forgot I had to change this one. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are going to ask the little ones if they would like to open their section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor and do all their work in the 7 days of Sabbath, the Lord. Please protect the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's not in the Sabbath. Please keep the people joining the Sabbath. And please protect all the new words that we're going to learn. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray,
amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear little ones. This is the time that we're going to ask our dear family how their household has been blessed by the little ones' endeavors. If you would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this edition of Mommy's Helpers, Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessing, I'd like to continue to highlight Haley and Emma. And I would like to just say that they have been faithful in little tasks and as of late has been increasing in doing more. Taking out the garbage, helping to pack away the groceries, helping to bring the groceries in. And Haley has been very instrumental in those things, almost like playing like a big sister role in terms of doing these things and doing it without being asked, organizing things. And it's very much seen and felt. And so I wanted to praise the Lord for that. And Emma also has been helping in her own little way. So we give thanks for that, and we pray that they will continue to do these things without being prompted, and they move according to how the Lord wants them to move in their household and in everywhere that they come across. So I just want to thank the Lord for that and help them to understand that their help is much appreciated.
Amen and praise the Lord. Is there any other members of our dear remnant family would like to share? You could take the time to do so, dear one. as other families are coming in, I will proceed, and later in the service, we will be able to have a little time if they have testimony to share later on the program. It's story times, and let's have a listening ear, for our dear brother will review our first part of our new chapter 27 entitled, Go Tell My Disciple, and I will pass it to our dear brother.
All right. The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the books of Luke and Mark. Luke 23:53, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Who did that? Mary Magdalene and her girlfriends. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They rose early in the day. You reckon they had an alarm clock? Maybe their roosters got them up. Like in the lesson, like in his account of the Savior's burial, speaks of the women who were with him at his crucifixion, and says, they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment, Luke 23:56. The Savior was buried on Friday, the sixth day of the week. The women prepared spices and ointments with which to embalm their Lord, and said, and laid them aside until the Sabbath was passed. Not even the work of embalming the body of Jesus would they do upon the Sabbath day. And that was correct. And when the Sabbath was passed, very early in the morning of the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Mark 16:1-2. As they neared the garden, they were surprised to see the heavens beautifully lighted up and to feel the earth trembling beneath their feet. They hastened to the tomb and were still more astonished to find the stone rolled away, and the Roman guard was not there. The Roman guard must have gone out that way as they came in this way, or they'd have gotten run over by 100 scared men. Mary Magdalene had been the first to reach the place. Seeing that the stone was removed, she hurried away to tell the disciples. When the other women came up, they noticed a light shining about the tomb, and looking in, saw that it was empty. As they lingered about the place, they suddenly beheld a young man in shining garments or clothes sitting by the tomb. It was the angel who had rolled away the stone. When that angel came down, he was so bright that it just knocked the soldiers on their to the ground, and they attenuated or reduced the brightness of their glow so that the women could stand and not be knocked down also. In fear, they turned to flee, but the angel said, and we'll find out next time what the angel said, and this came from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 158 and 159. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will be continuing with part two of our lesson entitled, Go Tell My Disciple, in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear ones, August 30th, 2025. Welcome to all the precious family. And we are going to hand it back to our dear brother to do the review with the little ones.
Okay. In review, what does Luke, in his account of the Savior's burial, speak of?
The answer to number one is the woman who were him at his, who were with him at his crucifixion.
Yes, he mentioned the ladies that had been at the cross when Jesus was crucified. All right. When was the Savior buried?
The Savior was buried on Friday, the sixth day of the week.
He was buried on Friday before sundown. Remember, he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the time of the evening sacrifice, and they had about 3 hours to get him off of the cross, prepare his body, and put it in the tomb. And then everybody went home, and there was still a little bit of time, and the ladies prepared spices and ointments. Who did the women see as they came to the tomb?
The answer to number three is it was the angel who had rolled away the stone.
Yes, but they didn't know which one it was, but they saw him. They must have known it was an angel, because most of us don't shine anymore. Okay, our bonus question. Who approached the tomb first, and what did the other two women notice?
The answer is Mary Magdalene and a light starting in the tomb, and looking and saw that it was empty.
Yep, Mary got there first. She was the one that offered to put the perfume on Jesus at the Feast of Simon. She loved Jesus very much because he had helped her break some bad habits, and she was first to the tomb. And the other ladies, when they got there, they saw the light. Wonder why the light wasn't shining when Mary Magdalene was there. Probably because the Lord wanted her to run and tell the disciples, and if she'd have seen the light and lingered about the tomb, they wouldn't have learned that quickly. All right, thank you for participating.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. It is time for Tanitas and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nation. Our topic for review is still Moments of the Bible. Let's have a listening ear for our dear brother will share.
God bless you, everyone. Here's today's lesson. We'll be reviewing before the nature lesson, the spiritual insight before it. Our Bible verses from our lesson review is taken from the book FBL Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 8, Jesus Heals. And we have Matthew chapter 9, verses 18, 19, and it reads, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Moving through nature, all manner of mammals, we'll be seeing the spiritual insight before lesson one about bats. In the memory verse for today and last week is, "But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Matthew 9:22. Character quality, the story, hopefulness versus desperation or hopelessness. Hopefulness is a desire of some good accompanied with expectation of obtaining it or belief that it is obtainable. Hope always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish or desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. My daughter is dead. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Matthew 9:18-19. Return from Gergesa to the western shore. Jesus found a multitude gathered to receive him, and they greeted him with joy. He remained by the seaside for a time, teaching and healing, and then repaired to the house of Levi Matthew to meet the publicans at the feast. Here, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, found him. This elder of the Jews came to Jesus in great distress and cast himself at his feet, exclaiming, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Jesus set out at once with the ruler for his home. Though the disciples had seen his works of mercy, they were surprised at his compliance with the entreaty of a haughty rabbi. Yet they accompanied their master, and the people followed, eager and expectant. The Desire of Ages, page 342. The elder of the Jews had hoped that Jesus would heal his sick daughter. Isaiah 2:20-21 reads, "To go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth." In Parent Studies, Desire of Ages, pages 342-348, research out more about hopefulness, hope, and hopeful. And here we have a drawing illustration of a brown bat. And here we have three pictures. There's a brown bat with color. It says above, "Meet the little brown bat." And below the picture of the drawing, in black and white, it reads, "And that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bat." Here, "Why do the wicked men cast their idols to the bats and moles in the end and go to the caves where the bats live? Bats and moles are creatures of darkness, and so are wicked men." And for here, below that reading, we read, "A bat hanging upside down and resting." That is the way all bats hang upside down. And in the other pictures, here's next to the reading, we have a picture of a bat flying to its home in a cave, and a picture of a mole. And over there are pictures of wicked men hiding from the wrath of God, from fire and other judgments that are supposed to come in the future. And we have another picture of a bat hanging down. Well, two pictures. One black and white and the other a real photo. Over here, we see a diagram of the bat's body. In the middle top, we see all the parts where it's pointing to. The simple nose, the upper arm, the ear, the tragus, the forearm, the wrist, thumb, or first finger, second finger, third finger, fourth finger, fifth finger, the elbow, the knee, the calcar, the foot, and the internal interfemoral membrane and the tail. And over here in these rectangles, we see parts of it, parts of these same body parts, but in different shapes and models. Here we have the large ear, the long tragus, a simple ear with no tragus, the broad tragus, and the serrated tragus. And on our right, you see the sheep tail, a free tail, a short tail, and one with no tail. On the bottom left, we see different kinds of bat's noses, the simple nose, a tube nose, a leaf nose, a spear nose, and a trident nose. And finally, on the bottom, under the bat's wing, you see a different kind of interweave some bats will have. The simple wing, fold wing, and the bent wing. you know, over here says all manner of mammals, bats. People have many misunderstandings about bats. You might have heard someone say blind as a bat. That is false because bats are not blind. Another misunderstanding is that bats get tangled in people's hair. Bats are very timid. As bats are misunderstood, so the disciples misunderstood why Jesus was helping the haughty rabbi ruler, Jairus. Jesus came to this earth to give hope to all men. And what can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Here from our dear sister Barbara, we see the pictures of the Kissimmee Lake, the lakefront park. It says here on the information about the place, the Kissimmee, the last lakefront park, has a rich history that reflects the development of the Kissimmee area and its natural beauty. Originally, the land that is now Kissimmee Lakefront Park was part of the city's early growth in the late 19th century. The area was primarily agricultural, with settlers drawn to the fertile land at the proximity of Lake Tahopekalaga. An establishment of the park in the 1970s, the city began transforming the waterfront area into a public park. The park was officially dedicated in 1990. Provide residents and visitors with recreational opportunities and scenic views of the lake. The park is known for its beautiful landscapes, including cypress trees and wildlife, making it a popular spot for nature enthusiasts. Here, continuing, here's a little info about one of the place's bird species, the common gallinule. Common gallinules are medium-sized marsh birds with long legs and toes. In profile, note the small head, thin neck, and small, thin bill. Swimming birds frequently hold up their wings, such that the wingtips stick up on the back. Color pattern. Common gallinules are mostly charcoal gray. Birds with a white stripe down their sides and white outer tail feathers. Adults have a bright red shield on their forehead and a red bill tipped in yellow. Immature birds look similar to adults, but lack the red shield and bill. Behavior. Common gallinules swim like a duck, pushing their head forward, and walk on top of marsh vegetation like the rail they are. When they walk, they tend to crouch down, slowly flick their tail up, revealing white undertail feathers. They often stay close to emergent marsh vegetation, but swim out in the open from time to time. Their habitat? They reside in freshwater or brackish marshes, ponds and lakes with a mix of submerged floating and emergent vegetation in open water. They also forage in smaller ditches, canals, and rice fields. Information from www.allaboutbirds.org/guide/common-gallinule/ID. Continuing. Next we have information about the Florida ibis bird species. The info is about the glossy ibis, whose type name is Plagiatis falcinellus. An identification, long curved bill. Adults mostly dark with iridescent and green and reddish tones. Very thin white border surrounding the dark facial skin. Dark eyes, usually gregarious, is found mainly in salty marshes and shallow wetlands. Unmistakable in most of its range, though American birds are best distinguished from white-faced ibis by distribution and facial pattern. Overview of the glossy ibis. Before diving into the species specifics of glossy ibis in Florida, it is helpful to understand some background on this species. The glossy ibis is a medium-sized wading bird measuring about 22 inches long with a wingspan reaching up to 35 inches. As their name suggests, adults have bronze-green plumage that shimmers with an iridescent, glossy sheen. Their long, down-curved bill is also a distinguishing feature.
Josh, that word is iridescence. Iridescent or iridescence. Go ahead.
Thanks, Brother Dick. Okay, so iridescent. Okay, got it. Glossy ibis are highly migratory and dispersed, widely dependent on the season. They breed in localized colonies, often in marshy wetlands, on islands, or in mangrove swamps. Nesting sites are usually located inland. After breeding, glossy ibis migrate in flocks to wintering grounds to offer ample wetland foraging habitat. Information from www.birdpool.org/rglossyibis in Florida. Continue. The glossy ibis has an extremely diverse diet, feeding on various fish, frogs, small aquatic invertebrates, and insects. Their specialized bill allows them to probe through mud to catch prey. They typically forage in shallow wetlands by wade through water or muddy shorelines. Range and population. Globally, the glossy ibis has an extremely widespread range across much of the world. Populations occur in parts of Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, and the Americas. In the United States, breeding populations can be found along the Atlantic coast from Maine to South Carolina. Glossy ibis also breed locally in parts of eastern Texas, coastal California, and southern Oregon. More information. And so here we have a list of all the other Florida water birds, and these are the only two who we've learned about. The glossy ibis and the common galleon. There's also another ibis species in Florida, and that is the white ibis. Well, we can look with all these other water birds for another time. We will end our Dear Sisters review with a different species of Florida's water bird. Our reference reading of our lesson, the Mammals of the Bible review, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, Chapter 36, The Touch of Faith. Returning from Gergesa to the Western shore, Jesus found a multitude gathered to receive him, and they greeted him with joy. He remained by the seaside for a time, teaching and healing, and then repaired to the house of Levi Matthew to meet the publicans at the feast. Here, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, found him. This elder of the Jews came to Jesus in great distress, cast himself at his feet, exclaiming, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Jesus set out once with the ruler for his home. Though the disciples had seen so many of his works of mercy, they were surprised at his compliance with the entreaty of the haughty rabbi, yet they accompanied their master, and the people followed, eager and expectant. The ruler's house was not far distant, but Jesus and his companions advanced slowly, for the crowd pressed him on every side. The anxious father was impatient of delay, but Jesus, pitying the people, stopped now and then to relieve some suffering one or to comfort a troubled heart. While they were still on the way, a messenger pressed through the crowd, bearing to Jairus news that his daughter was dead. And it was useless to trouble the master further. The word caught the ear of Jesus. "Fear not," he said. "Believe only, and she shall be made whole." Star of Ages, pages 343, paragraphs 2, 3, 4, and 5. Our, our three bonus questions you can find in them both in the Bible and in the book. Review. One, who came hoping for Jesus' help? The answer is in Matthew 9:18. Two, what was his request? The answer is also Matthew 9:18. And three, what did Jesus do? Who? The answer is in Matthew 9:19. Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in and those that already came in earlier. Just remember, little ones, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whisper peace within. Peace, perfect peace, a future all unknown. Jesus, we know and he is all. The truth. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Before the Throne of God Above, and you could find it in the hymn number 283. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever limbs and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me this depart. No tongue can bid me this depart.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tell me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing assurance, dear one. We're going to ask any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our review section of our family program. May you please, dear one, unmute your mic.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for the council for this morning. Please protect us. Please protect the people who are sick and the people who are here and the people who are not here. Please protect the things that we're going to be learning and protect the things that we're going to be doing. Please protect the word that we're going to be learning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singers in section Promises of the Memory Verse CD of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, King James Version. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to reread a first part of our part 7 entitled Go and Teach All Nations. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones, continuing? May you unmute your mic.
The gospel is to be presented not as a lifeless theory, but as a living force to change the life. God desires that the receivers of his grace shall be witnesses to his power. Those whose course has been most offensive to him, he freely accepts when they repent. He imparts to them his divine spirit, places them in the highest position of trust, and sends them forth into the camp of the disloyal to proclaim his boundless mercy. Next slide, Alan. Bubble.
Continuing the reading. He would have his servants bear testimony to the fact that through his grace men may possess Christ's likeness of character, and may rejoice in the assurance of his great love. He would have us bear testimony to the fact that he cannot be satisfied until the human race are reclaimed and reinstated to their holy privileges as his sons and daughters. The Desire of Ages, page 826, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 826. In Christ is the tenderness of the shepherd, the affection of the parent, and the matchless grace of the compassionate Savior. His blessings he presents in the most alluring terms. He is not content merely to announce these blessings. He presents them in the most attractive way to excite a desire to possess them. The next slide, please. And continuing, so his servants are to present the riches of the glory of the unspeakable gift. The wonderful love of Christ will melt and subdue hearts when the mere reiteration of doctrines would accomplish nothing. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. O Zion, that bringest good tidings. Next slide, please, and I'll bubble down so someone else can read.
Continuing, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 and verses 9 through 11. Next slide, please. Continuing, tell the people of him who is the chiefest among 10,000 and the one altogether lovely, the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 10 and verse 16. Words alone cannot tell. Let it be reflected in the character and manifested in the life. And on the side, it reads Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Christ is my righteousness on the right side. And in the bottom, it is you must hunger and thirst for Christ, God's righteousness. Next slide, and I'll bubble down.
Continuing, Christ is sitting for his portrait in every disciple. Everyone God has predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. In everyone, Christ's long-suffering love, his holiness, meekness, mercy, and truth are to be manifested to the world. These are of ages, page 826, paragraph 3. And on the side it says, reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The first disciple went forth preaching the word. They revealed Christ in their lives, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16:20. These disciples prepared themselves for the work. Before the day of Pentecost, they met together and put away all differences. They were of one accord. They believed Christ's promise that the blessing will be given, and they prayed in faith. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading, they did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely. They were weighted with the burden for the salvation of souls. The gospel was to be carried to the uttermost parts of the earth, and they claimed the endowment of power that Christ had promised. Then it was that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and thousands were converted in a day. The Desire of Ages, page 827, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 827. So it may be now. Instead of man's speculations, let the word of God be preached, but Christians put away their dissensions and give themselves to God for the Savior of the lost. Let them in faith ask for the blessing, and it will come. The outpouring of the Spirit in apostolic days was the former rain, and glorious is the result, but the latter rain will be more abundant. Joel 2:23.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. So what have we learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? Before we get to hear all the answers to the questions that we held from the first part of our program, let's consider our verse from our review, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. For those that are not able to see it the screen. We will read it out, and if you are moved to be able to share your answer or anything you would like to share for the edification of any one of the little ones and if they are precious family that are joining us, you may do so by unmute your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
For number one, who is the main character or characters? We see here there was a reference to the disciples, but the message was being given to us, the people of today, on what is the expectation and what we can do to represent Christ in the world. For number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? For this, the main idea for the section of the story, we saw the work that was to be done, the work that was done by the first disciples, and the work that we are supposed to be doing as well, and spreading the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and not just by doing things in words, but by showing our character. And in our daily lives on how to be and how to live for Christ and others.
The answer to number three, where the story played place, most likely back to, I think in Jerusalem.
Number four, I believe, where did the story begin? I believe this is all taking place after the resurrection of Christ.
How could you relate to this story, number five? I could relate to this story in seeing that you don't have to take on something big or grand to be able to reflect the character of Christ. And you don't have to go, so even though we are to spread the gospel near and far, the work can just be started within our own little circles, within our homes, within those that we come into contact with. And each one would be able to teach one and relate in that way how we are standing in Christ. For number six, what did you learn from this lesson? I learned that nothing is done by force. We saw in one of the slides, at least from God, it's not done by force. I saw in one of the slides that the Lord is waiting for the portrait, his portrait to be reflected in us. And that was a beautiful thing, a beautiful reminder that it's a day by day walk. It's a day by day change. For his character to be reflected, to be
for His will to be done in our lives. And that was that's what I am learning from this particular lesson, and I'm blessed by it.
Amen. So what did you learn from this lesson? It is a beautiful illustration of how the Lord is using all our daily endeavors as the way how He had walked with His disciple. They were first learners, disciple, seeing how the Lord was doing all the work before them. And they have a beautiful example and illustration as they beheld Him. And I know this generation is a little bit different. They had Jesus physically there. But that's the purpose that we have, to go into His Word and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to reflect Jesus in His life. And as we are disciple and learning of Him, the Holy Spirit will work different circumstances that we can be able to exercise, but still with His power to be able to put it into practical use. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to see how the way the Lord dealt with the disciple is the way how He can deal with us as well. And to walk in faith, because as we try our best to be able to do what we can, we have not only the Father through Christ, but also the Holy Spirit to help us along. And we are hoping that the same pouring out that was poured out with the first dispensation of the disciple, this one is going to be more glorious, because the whole world will lighten with His glory as we handle our lives, our hearts, and all the endeavors that we have for the purpose of the glory of God will be given for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us His way. If anybody else would like to share their ones, maybe unmute your mic. We will continue, dear ones, with our study. Welcome to all of those that are just coming in. We share thoughts and also poem and special music. Our thought is taken from Maranatha chapter 219, entitled Perfection in the Human Fair. Our reflection will be from chapter 223, entitled In Harmony with This Law. And the opening scripture is taken from Matthew 5:48, King James Version, and it reads, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Our Savior understood all about human nature, and He says to every human being, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. As God is perfect in His sphere, so man is to be perfect in his sphere. Those who receive Christ are among the number to whom the words so full of hope are spoken. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. These words declare to us that we should be content with nothing less than the best and highest character, a character formed after the divine similitude. When such a character is possessed, the life, the faith, the purity of the religion is an instructive example to others. From Maranatha, page 227, paragraph 2.
But to those who are waiting to behold a magical change in their characters without determined effort on their part to overcome sin, will be disappointed. We have no reason to fear while looking to Jesus, no reason to doubt but that He is able to say to the uttermost all that come unto Him, but we may constantly fear lest our old nature will again obtain the supremacy. The enemy shall devise some sneer whereby we shall again become his captives. We are to work at our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. With our limited powers, we are to be as holy in our sphere as God is holy in his sphere. To the extent of our ability, we are to make manifest the truth and love and excellence of the divine character. As wax takes the impression of the seal, so the soul is to take the impression of the Spirit of God and retain the image of Christ. This is our Maranatha, page 227, paragraph 3.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, dear sister. We are to grow daily in spiritual loveliness. We shall fail often in our efforts to copy the divine pattern. We shall often have to bow down to weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes. But we are not to be discouraged. We are to pray more fervently. Believe more fully and try again with more steadfastness to grow into the likeness of our Lord. As we distrust our own power, we shall trust the power of our Redeemer and render praise to God, who is the health of our countenance and our God. Maranatha, page 227, paragraph 4.
Reflection. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Psalms 119, verse 34, King James Version. True sanctification is a Bible doctrine. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonian church, declares, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." And he prays, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, and 5, 23.
The Bible clearly teaches what sanctification is and how it is to be attained. The Savior prayed for his disciples, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." John 17, verses 17 and 19. And Paul teaches that believers are to be sanctified by the Holy Ghost, from Romans 15, verse 16. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Jesus told his disciples, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." John 16, verse 13. And the psalmist says, "Thy law is the truth. But the Word and the Spirit of God are open to men the great principles of righteousness embodied in his law. And since the law of God is holy and just and good, a transcript of the divine perfection, it follows that a character formed by obedience to that law will be holy. Christ is a perfect example of such a character. He says, 'I have kept my Father's commandments. I do always those things that please him.'" John 15, verses 10, and chapter 8, verse 29. The followers of Christ are to become like him, by the grace of God, to form characters in harmony with the principles of his holy law. This is Bible sanctification. Maranatha, page 231, paragraph 4.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. That chapter that we just read, the pages came from 231, paragraph 4, and it's entitled Once More in Harmony with the Law. Welcome to all those that are just joining us. We have our poem section. It's entitled A Hope for Heaven. This poem is taken from Children Bible Activity, Book Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 8. Page 200, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1. 'Tis not the earth's treasures I seek, its honor or wealth or renown, but a home with the holy and meek, when Jesus shall give them a crown.
Give not for the streets paved with gold, the palm and the harp we shall bear, but I long for the mansions above, but it's my Savior, that my Savior is there.
I would not unwillingly do his commands, which I know to be just, nor bow like a slave to his will, because I well know that I must.
But cheerfully, gladly would give my affection and service free, nor were I at suffering grieve for his sake who suffered for me.
Amen. Our special music is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section Peaceful Rest. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, King James Version.
God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, faithful is he.
Dear ones, this is the section. If they have any testimony that they would like to share, you could take a few to be able to share it with us. Otherwise, you still have the chance to share your testimony between the services or even after. So next week, dear one, we will be continuing with our final part, part 8 of our lesson book entitled Go Teach All Nations, in our study book, Desire Ages. If any one of the dear remnant family, mommies or daddies, our guests, little ones, may close the prayer, may you unmute your mic.
May we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Father, thank you for bringing us once more to be blessed on your Sabbath day and to receive all your blessings, Father Jesus, the rest that we need physically, mentally, Father, and spiritually. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the lessons that we've been learning here today. We thank you so much that you are waiting patiently to take your portrait in us. I pray that we be getting ourselves ready for this portrait to be taken. Bless and keep us, Father Jesus. Bless the little ones who are participating and also the ones that are listening, Father Jesus. Continue to be with us in this day. Continue to be with us as we go into the second section of our studies. Be with the speaker. May you bless him and provide words that we will be blessed. Thank you, Father, again, for your love and mercy. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. My computer got a tune-up, but I guess he's not behaving properly. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will continue with our part 8. And that will take place August 30th, 2025. And that will be lesson 442 of our chapter 86, Go and Teach All Nations. Leaving the scripture and also a small quote from manuscript releases, page 111, paragraph 3. And our scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, King James. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. And from a small quote, Christ's death and resurrection complete this covenant. Before this time, it was revealed through types and shadows, which pointed to the great offering to be made by the world's Redeemer, offered in promise for the sins of the world. Anciently, believers were saved by the same Savior as now, but it was a God veil. They saw God's mercy in figures. The promise given to Adam and Eve in Eden was the gospel to a fallen race. The promise was made that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head and it should bruise his heel. Christ's sacrifice is the glorious fulfillment of the whole Jewish nation. The Son of Righteousness has risen. Christ, our righteousness, is shining in brightness upon us. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.